The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
When people are being equipped to do the work of the ministry, part of it is they're becoming adequate again. Mm-hmm. They realize, I'm a son, I'm a mm-hmm. daughter. Mm-hmm. Wow, I've got a call, I can matter. And that's a big deal. So when people begin to see, I mean, I have a voice. And when Jesus said this, and this is haunting, when he said, listen, my sheep know the sound of my voice. Mm-hmm. If we can learn how to know the sound of his voice, then we can learn to be the sound of his voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the movement that God is doing. And it comes down to these moments with people listening, even on the radio now, God's yarding on someone's heart mm-hmm. as we speak. And he's saying, you know what? I knew there's a greater truth. Mm-hmm. And now I get it. And it's okay. It's okay to give up control. Mm-hmm. It's okay to trust again. It's okay because when you trust, you pave the way with love. And all those gifts become really loud.
Today on Sought Out Global Radio, we continue our discussion on apostolic centers. How are these places different from typical churches? And what does the Bible have to say about your role in what we refer to as the kingdom of God? Well, stay tuned as we discuss these things and more in part two of Apostolic Centers. That's next on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you back to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote. Last week, we began a three-part series on apostolic centers, which are really churches that are starting to pivot toward a kingdom view of the world, and in particular, breaking out of the typical church paradigms for how we do church and how we structure leadership in these communities. When we concluded, we were discussing the kingdom of God and what we meant by it, which is not just having an appreciation for your own ministry, but also for what God is doing in the aggregate, and how people who are shifting into leadership in these centers tend to be targets for promotion because of their anointing, recognition, and acceptance in other churches and ministries within the kingdom. It's a marked difference and almost a paradox from the typical church models in place today. So let's rejoin the conversation with Sought Out ministry leader Herb Marks and our guest, Dan Hammer, senior pastor of Sunrise Christian Center in Everett, Washington, James Ludlow, senior pastor of East Point Church in Bonnie Lake, Washington, and Diane Fink of Aglow International.
We're recognizing people that have, by their life and by their influence, are already recognized in different bodies and churches, and how even out of this local church they're being sent. So, because apostolic leaders and prophetic people are seeing way beyond their local church.
Right.
They're seeing they want the whole region to be touched, the whole nation, the nations. It's part of a mind shift in the church. We need pastors. We need teachers. Pastors are so valuable. And we need gifted pastors to love the flock, but we've taken in the traditional church pastors and tried to get them to do so many things by themselves that no person can do, even if they're an apostle or a prophet. And that model's freeing people to flow into who God created them to be and to be excited about who they are.
So what you guys are really talking about there is the difference between having something that emerges through a move of God organically versus us manufacturing or trying to motivate people
Absolutely.
Would you say there's too much motivation in speeches going on in the churches today, that we are trying to motivate people as opposed to releasing a move of God?
I think it really gets back to the principle of Jesus, is he only did what he saw the Father doing. So if we're trying to manufacture something, the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we're just doing our own thing, and it won't work. Jesus, his whole life in ministry was implicitly only doing what the Father told him. That's the model that he gave us for all ministry, for all relationship, and it was based on his intimacy to the Father. All of these things flow out of.
So if we're going to have the fullness to everybody here and not the halfness, how do we do this, you guys? How do we have the fullness of the gospel in the church? I think it's possible we may have it out in the world around the church more than we actually have it in the church. As you think about the collection of the body of Christ working together, all the fivefold is represented in all kinds of different places, right? Parachurch ministries and churches alike, all coming alongside, shoulder to shoulder. But within the four walls of the church, we really struggle with putting the shoe leather onto the street, don't we? Well, I wonder why that, you know, question for you, what do we have to do to actually go far enough to make that happen in a reality?
I think we have to release people. So like in our services, we see a lot of people get healed, but we have a whole bunch of people in the church praying every week for people to get healed. So there's many weeks I don't pray for anybody. Now, I've seen a lot of people healed. I've seen a lot of people saved, delivered. But my goal is to see my people do that, because that's my job description. I remember one time a lady came to me and said, I hate this church. All you do is equip people. And I said, thank you. And I know the lady real well. And it was just a, you know, she was saying, I want to be pastored. I want to be cared for. And I said, it's still there. You just have to find it in the right place. But it happens more in small groups. It happens through people who are gifted pastors. And I can't pastor everybody. The church is bigger than my ability to pastor everybody. But as we have people pray for people, as we have people in church speak, last Sunday of the month, Herb and Diane and Tom Gibbons, who are three people we laid hands on the prophetic office, they're going to be given the three services, and they're going to prophesy and speak into the church. And it says in the Bible that the prophets should judge what the prophecies and the prophets say. So part of the model is raising up prophetic leaders who will begin to judge the prophetic words, who will begin to work with the elders and the apostolic leaders and the people to see the biblical model of what happens when there's order, there's correction, there's all those type of things.
When you look at part of what prophecy is about, is that prophecy takes your is in the future calling you forward, because prophecy is present future. The incredible strengths that God has put on every person is profound, and he's calling destinies and purposes into every individual's lives. And often we hear people just sharing how they so want to express what's rising in them, what is surfacing as far as their long to serve. And I think in the model that we often, that I grew up in as well, is just, I think is prepping us for what is next. We need to equip people so they'll go out and express what's in them, because if they don't, they will dry up, and then we just have a spectator issue. And that is, you come in, you find your seat, you sit down. My desire is that people are discovering how they're wired, and because the anointing because we need his presence. If it's a presence-driven church, then the anointing helps people to identify how they're wired, because the anointing in Scripture says teaches and trains you in all things, not some things, in all things. And so when we look at the purpose and the intention of the Holy Spirit, he comes to cause moments of his presence to identify our passions, how we're wired, so that we can step into what God is strengthening us to become, and not only discovering in Ephesians 4, the five primaries, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, thank you, and that those all five are functioning so the church can mature, but it's so that we can release people into a community. In this region, stats showed some years ago, 7 out of 10 people are not in church on a Sunday morning. Why is this? And that the majority of people would come to church if they were invited. And I'm wondering, why aren't we inviting? And it's so easy to do that. When we go to a restaurant, I think I've been turned down once when I've asked a waitress if we could pray for them as we say grace. But so often, the gift of insight begins to flow, and I'll just take a moment and ask the waitress, is this going on in their life? And we have to be careful, because if the boss is looking, all of a sudden the waitress is stopped at our table and tears are coming down their cheeks and dropping off their chin as they begin to open up. And we find that people will not, they will not push away prayer. And if we take a moment and show interest in their lives, they're being loved upon, but it comes with the Holy Spirit given insight. All of a sudden you've got things going on out there in just in the public environment where people are experiencing the love of God, and it's through the flow of the Holy Ghost. So every person is a carrier of the presence of God. If we have presence, then I believe life flows. Where there's no presence, then principles want to push themselves to the surface, where all of a sudden now we're really working hard to motivate. People become self-motivated under the anointing. And the presence of God is longing to fill the walls of every church. How we steward and lead that is something, of course, that is a journey, as Pastor James was talking about. It's a journey being led here.
I like the rest of the scripture. It says that until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. It says, rather speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 all the way through 16. Here's what I think. My best friend is Kirk Wrighton. He was born with a thing called cerebral palsy, where he, for 5 minutes, the cord from his mother was wrapped around his neck, and he was born. 5 minutes changed his world. He can't walk. He's bound in a wheelchair, speaks with his nose, and my best friend in the world. He's a brilliant man, retired from Boeing, but cerebral palsy robbed him of having a normal life. He would say he's got the most normal life around. But one day I was talking to him, and the Lord showed me something about the body of Christ. I feel, in a way, part of the correction that God is bringing to us in this year is that the church has had cerebral palsy, whereas there's been a disconnect between the head, which is Christ, and the body, and therefore the hand and the feet aren't getting what the body or that the mind is trying to say. And Christ is the head. And I think God is repairing those ancient paths. And I believe, I mean, even the word equipping, listen to this, means equipment, adequacy. When people are being equipped to do the work of the ministry, part of it is they're becoming adequate again. They realize, I'm a son, I'm a daughter. Wow, I've got a call, I can matter. And that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So when people begin to see, I mean, I have a voice. When Jesus said this, and this is haunting, when he said, listen, my sheep know the sound of my voice. If we can learn how to know the sound of his voice, then we can learn to be the sound of his voice. And I think that's the movement that God is doing. I think cerebral palsy in the kingdom is going to go away, both supernaturally within my dear friend Kirk and in the body of Christ with people learning. And it comes down to these moments with people listening, even on the radio now. God's yarding on someone's heart as we speak. And he's saying, you know what? I knew there's a greater truth. And now I get it. And it's okay. It's okay to give up control. It's okay to trust again. It's okay, because when you trust, you pave the way with love. And all those gifts become really loud and not just a clanging cymbal.
When we often read that scripture about equipping the saints, particularly in the fivefold context, we often think about equipping in the sense of the gifting, you know, teaching people how to function in their gifting, right? But part of the equipping is growing people up into a place of maturity. And part of the maturity is what you're talking about, being able to see who God has created you to be, being able to take prophetic words that have been spoken over your life and begin to walk towards them. You may not be there yet, but you're walking towards who God says you are.
That's good. Movement.
Movement. Good. It's movement. Yeah. You know, in each, if you look at Esther, for example, the story of Esther, in each place that she was following the leading of the Lord, there was movement. She went from one part of the women's housing. She listened to the counsel of she listened to the counsel she was given. And when she did, she moved to another part of the women's housing or harem or whatever. Each time she responded, there was movement. And the movement was bringing her closer and closer and closer to the moment where she had to choose, will I go in before the king? Will That's I good. Fully be yeah. obedient? And when she chose, yes, I will, we know the rest of the story. She saved her people from annihilation. So it's the process of developing, helping people to develop as a person in who they're called to be. And ultimately, the overarching purpose always is to help people become more Christ-like. That's mm-hmm. that is our purpose. Right, to become more like him. But it's developing the character, and it's those hard places that help us to develop the character that God is looking for, because it's the character that will sustain the fullness of the gift. Yeah. And
that's really good. Yeah.
You know, I think it was Bob Jones once said, character is God's inoculation against the immense power of the gift flowing through men. So if you don't have character to sustain the gift, it can get off, it can get, it can do damage. So the preparation, the equipping of the saints, not only is in teaching about the gift, but it's also in raising people to a place of maturity.
Years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I was sitting in front of a group of about 300 teenagers at a sought-out function, and it was one of my first experiences of the anointing regarding what I flow in today, and that's the prophetic insight of people's lives. And there was a young man who had come, and he was resistant to things of God, and he sat right in the middle, and I remember it being an evening session when I got insight by the Holy Spirit. I mean, here's the crazy thing. If God were not to move, you know, we'd have nothing to say in these moments, in these kinds of moments. And on this weekend, I believe we had, with these kids, 14 denominations, 72 churches represented in that room. I remember the numbers to this day. And here we were with all these kids. I got his name, and then came the color, the year, the type of car that he came to this function, because we had kids from Friday through Sunday. And we had all these kids where they had 1 2-hour break. Otherwise, it was intense. And we took them all the way through. When this came, got his name, got his age, car, but when I put out there the license plate, the kid leaped, he jumped up in amongst of all these kids, started climbing over all these kids, ran through the back door, out into the field, and dropped to his knees. And it's there that he gave his life back to the Lord. Why does God do things like this sometimes? Well, part of the reason is because we're made for this. And the Lord was taking a moment to radically pursue this kid, and it changed him. So we see, of the fivefold, what do you do with a kid that's given his life back? Okay, so he was rocked. But now, this young man needs to be brought into a place of nurtureship, and all of a sudden we see the real strong place of being pastored. And you look at the fivefold and how key it is to bringing people to Christ, helping them mature. Well, the reason why I share this with you is because when you deal with character, here I was 23 or 24 years old that day, and a gentleman that had walked and led a ministry internationally for decades pulled me aside, sat me down, and he used these words. He said, "Herb, few men survive the anointing." And I was sitting there at 23 thinking, got it covered. I'm in good shape.
Dan's laughing because he knows what that means.
Got it covered. And I thought, no prob. I'm in good shape. Let me tell you. As a young man, presumptive, the Lord allowed me to taste some of the anointing. And then in his wisdom, he pulled it back a little bit and began to allow me to step into areas where he began to build character so that I wouldn't implode on stuff like this. Because what comes with that? The spotlight, recognition, being brought into, you know, accolades, all of those things are dangerous. And so when Diane talks about character, oh my gosh, it is so key, because the Lord is longing to release to us a permanency of his anointing in our lives, providing that we don't implode under what it brings. And so I love what's being shared here around the table today with the ministries represented here. I mean, such integrity, such depth that is around this table. We all know what it is, that God would take time with us to take us into character building. And Diane, that is such a great statement that you brought.
I think it was Henry Nouwen that said that when we come to the place where we are no longer affected by either the criticism or the praise, then we've come to a good place in God where we can flow freely in our gifts and they will come forth in purity and clarity and greater anointing.
And I think in all the office gifts, one of the highest qualifications is extraordinary character, that the character of Christ has been formed in us. That was Paul said, his goal for every person was that they would be made perfect in Christ, that or till Christ be formed in them. Mm-hmm. So if part of the fivefold ministry is not the highest target of making everybody to come to the fullness of Christ, then we're missing the target. And sometimes we've lowered the target rather than come up to what God wants us to become in humility. The wisdom that comes, like Herb and Diane shared, from going through trials and tests. And, you know, like I said, my concern is people just saying things over people that they're not ready to carry or to handle or to, you know, there's just so much to having the character, the fruit of the Spirit developed in your life that you can carry the gifts of the Spirit. Because like Herb said, it can be very dangerous to be anointed without wisdom and without character and without humility. And I really believe all the fivefold ministers should really meet in many senses the qualifications of eldership that are listed in 1 Timothy 3, that they have a, you know, a good character. That's why it's so important to be recognized by others, as James shared, in a local church or in some ministry group, that they're recognizing something on someone, so someone won't, like Herb said, it's real easy when you're 22 or 23 to think you've got it all figured out. I said life, and sometimes ministry is like golf. The minute you think you have it figured out, watch out.
Don't I know that?
We all know that, yes.
Well, I love what you said, Dan, because one of those things that I get back to is the scripture that says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I don't believe, honestly, that the line is short for those that want to be workers. Mm-hmm. I think the line is short for those who are qualified to be the workers. And that's what we're really missing. We're missing the people who have gone through the fiery process of refinement. And, you know, we've all been motivated truly by the anointing. We talk about the motivation of men, the motivation of God sometimes when we get saved and we're on fire for Jesus and we want to go in and we're boldly going after it. I want to serve. Oh, I want to work in ministry. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a leader. And that's really, you know, that's on my heart. We hear that all the time. But there's a huge price to be paid for that. Right, guys?
Amen.
Yes. You know, it just reminds me so much of the charismatic renewal. Remember, where all of a sudden the people realized, hey, I'm gifted, but the default position is to fall back and let the professionals do it.
Yeah. Performance.
And it is us all about performance. And I'm like, you know what? Pastor Dan hit right. It's all about who we think we are in Christ. Because if we see ourselves as just mere servants, it's like the prodigal son. You're not my servant, you're my son. And there's a difference. I love what it says. Rather speak the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him. But we should be looking like Jesus with skin on. And when we get that, when the people of God realize that they're bigger and they're better than what they look at in the mirror, look out, world.
And I'm afraid we'll have to leave it right there because, unfortunately, we're out of time. A great closing thought from Pastor James Ludlow in how we really are Jesus' hands, feet, and voice in the kingdom of God. And when we get a hold of that truth and start to embrace it to the point that it changes our identity, the church will begin to explode with action from the priesthood of the believers, which is you and me. Hey, very quickly, remember, a week from this Sunday on February 22nd, Sought Out Global Ministries will be hosting a regional encounter at Xfinity Arena in Everett. It'll be a great time of worship and prophetic ministry. The event begins at 5 p.m., so please bring a friend because there is plenty of room. For more information, please go to soughtoutglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb Marks, Diane Fink, Pastors Dan Hammer and James Ludlow, I'm Mark Grote. Please remember to join us for part 3 of Apostolic Centers, right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.